And our next story is for all of the drivers and passengers on long-distance family automobile trips right now. It's about you, and it's about the fight that you're having in your crowded, luggage-packed car, or the fight that you will have a few miles from now, or possibly the fight that you just had. This is a story about a musical celebration of that summer ritual, the road trip. Amy Dickinson met the composer of a symphony about a family, their car, and the long open road.
Since childhood, composer Charlie Barnett has had visions of summer car trips with his family come back to him in little snippets of memory, like a flickery kinescope. When he decided to write his first symphony, he thought he'd try and create a large musical work about going places.
The first movement is that American idea of what travel is all about. Whatever it is about Americans, it's good to be in motion. And you could just go on. You could just go on forever. And I think the music in this does indeed propel you. It makes you feel like, you know, it's better to be going than to be stopped. It's better to be headed somewhere than to be actually there.
As Charlie Barnett worked on his composition, he focused in on one specific traveling experience, an annual 3-day journey by car from his family's home in Fredericksburg, Virginia, to his grandfather's rustic one-room cabin in Darmascotta, Maine. It was the late 1950s. The Barnetts had 5 young children, ages 2 to 10, stuffed into the back of the family car.
I think we had a string of Chevrolets. The one I remember most was a blue one. It had fins. There were huge fins, big enough that you could sit on them. And you could put all the seats down and back, and my dad made a huge canvas mat for the back of it. It was a safety measure. There were no seat belts involved in this car, and no air conditioning. I remember that very well. My 4 sisters and I would be thrown in back with hopefully enough books and games to keep us entertained. It never did. Mostly, I just remember fighting, mostly with Martha. And mostly crying, and my sister Sally, who was mostly terrified because she was the smallest. And she was liable to get, Sally was liable to get crushed by her larger sisters. That was so true. And Susie was nearly invisible. She was 2 and just got like a square foot. And she would just have to sit, you know, huddled and crying over in one terrible little, the hottest corner of the car. And of course, I was the only boy. And wanted to be left alone or to smite my enemies, which were, of course, all my sisters.
Barnett calls his symphony The Blue Chevrolet. The work had its debut in June at the Lincoln Theater in Washington, D.C. Sitting with the composer at the piano of his studio is his mother, Martha. Her perspective on the family trips is slightly different. From her seat in the front of the big blue car, trying to placate the children and her long-suffering husband, Charles, a mild-mannered physician. By all accounts, Charles Barnett Sr.'s summer vacation with his large family is best described as agony.
What I remember is, in the very beginning, the children would climb into the car saying, "This is going to be my spot. This is my spot. No, you can't have this one. I'm going to have this spot." And this is before we even put the key in the ignition. And at that point, my husband would say, "I'm not going." The arguing wasn't important. It was, how do I get my husband over this hump? Get into the car and decide maybe he can make this trip.
You would just hear him from up in the front seat just going, "Oh, oh."
Just quietly suffering and groaning.
Just suffering. He was the first person I ever heard that made that sound that ultimately sounded like Lurch on the Addams Family. And we, I guess, eventually learned to just ignore it.
Charlie Barnett says his musical heroes are composers such as Earl Hagen, who wrote many of the TV themes he heard as a child. He's incorporated these classic sounds into his symphony and infused it with the kind of perverse nostalgia a prisoner of war might express for his time in captivity.
The third movement is called The Detour, The Argument, and Finally the Map. And this is more or less the 50s sitcom movement. There was this constant clamor of kids in traffic. And by about, I would say, mid-Pennsylvania, he was pretty much done. Whatever it was that we were doing would have finally pushed his buttons terminally, and he would pull over, and he would unbuckle his belt and pull it off and fold it over and snap it. And this was to indicate how much it was going to hurt when he whipped us with the belt. I don't believe he ever did this, but there all I can remember is the five children cowering inside the car while he marched around, of course, with his pants kind of like not quite up anymore, and with his belts, and he was snapping his belt, just clack, clack, clack. At one point, I remember, he actually pulled into a restaurant and said, "This is it. I'm going to beat you one by one." And they actually made us get out of the car, and all my sisters and I put books in our pants. We're leaning forward on a picnic table outside of probably a Howard Johnson's with books in our pants and him snapping this belt as all five of us leaned forward on a picnic table. And my sister Sally was always the most frightened of us all. She was the smallest, and you would hear her go, "Oh, no."
After 3 days on the road, the family arrived at their destination, a one-room cabin with no plumbing, no kitchen, and no beds.
It was a fun thing. It was a fun thing, but to have 2 weeks of it, that was plenty. In fact, my husband would have been glad to leave in 2 days.
Barnett, a father of three daughters, wanted to honor his father's memory, celebrate his mother's endurance, and remember their annual temporary insanity when year after year they packed the car with bickering children and set off for points north in the big blue Chevrolet.
Amy Dickinson takes her summer family car rides between her home in upstate New York and Washington, D.C.